If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is the gospel according to Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countrysides, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Yep, Jesus and his disciples were busy. Busy, busy, busy. They were teaching and preaching and healing the sick, praying for people, feeding people, taking care of needs. They reported all this to Jesus. And the scriptures say that there were so many people coming and going that they didn't even have time to eat. And so Jesus said to them, "Come away from all this busyness. Come and get some rest." And so they went, they were headed for a solitary place. It's important. It's important for us to get rest. We during the summer, our services hit, all churches hit summertime crowds because people are going on vacation and traveling, and we're supposed to be getting rest. The reason we're supposed to be getting rest is so that we can get all fired up again and do ministry. Now, generally, the church year runs from September to May. And then along with school, we take off the summer. And we do a limited number of things during the summer in church. So it's important to get rest. It's not important to go on that vacation. You know that vacation where at the crack of dawn, you're up and you're out. And you're going someplace and getting breakfast. And then you got to hit the beach. And then you got to go bike riding. Then you got to go to the amusement park. Then you got to go to the movies, you got to go to dinner, you got to get back home and walk the beach and then finally hit bed, you know. We've all been there. You're glad to get back to work. You know, it's like, I'm exhausted. Jesus, when he called his disciples to go with him, he said, "Come on, let's go to a solitary place, a place away from all of the rat race." You know, and that's a good thing to have. It's a good thing to be able to go someplace where you can just sit and be quiet for a while. Be still and know that I am Lord. Now, you can do that for a weekend. You can do that for a day. But I'm telling you, you can do that for an hour at home. Just tie the kids up. But I would strongly encourage you to take one of your closets at home. Clean out everything in the bottom of it. Put a small lamp in there, bean bag or a cushion, some reading materials, couple bottles of water. And then every now and then, go into that closet, close the door with that lamp on, sit down, read some devotions, read the scriptures, put your prayer list in there, and just relax a little bit. But don't forget to come back out, okay? But that's a solitary place, prayer closet. Very powerful, and I kid you not. Very powerful. It's important to get rest. But it's equally important to get back to work. You know, and here in Western PA, about 7 years ago, they enforced a rule They insisted that pastors take 2 days off a week. Because I've been in ministry 25 years, and we used to, you'd take off 1 day a week if you could get it. And usually it wasn't a full day off to boot. But then they began insisting that you take off 2 days because so many pastors were falling sick and burning out. And it was affecting ministry and churches, and it was affecting our health benefits because there were so many claims. And so they insisted that pastors get that rest that they need. But at the same time, just like Jesus, when he took them to a solitary place, the people followed them. See, people always have needs, whether it's our day off or not, whether it's your day off or not. People always have needs, and really, what comes first? It's more important to take care of the sheep who were without a shepherd. It's more important to take care of people's needs so that they see Jesus. Because there's nothing more important in this whole world than that people come to know Jesus Christ. So that's what's most important. But if you can get the rest, please do. But there is a time to put the nose to the grindstone too and get busy. That's number one. Number two is from Ephesians. And Ephesians, well, Ephesians 2, 11 through 22 is about Christians everywhere of all shapes, sizes, ages, sexes, languages, colors. I can't read my writing there. It says, do you know what that says right there? Incomes, maybe? Well, I think it says incomes, educations, customs, etc., etc. It doesn't matter what we all look like. No matter what part of the world we're from, we're all one. We are one. We are wedded to Jesus Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And it says in Genesis chapter 2 that for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and he and his wife shall become one. Simpatico. Symbiotic, one flesh. We're to be one flesh with each other. In John chapter 17, Jesus said, my prayer is that they would be one, even as you and I are one. And he's praying to the Heavenly Father. He wants us to be one with each other the same way he is one with God the Father. We are to be one with each other. And yet we're different. We're just twins here. Me and Peggy are just twins. I mean, you can't tell us apart, can you? No. Obviously, there's differences. Peggy and I, we think a lot alike, but we don't think exactly alike. We were brought up differently. We don't wear the same clothes. Normally, we don't wear the same clothes. I'm going to quit picking on Peggy because she picks back. So. But her and I are both children of God. We both love Jesus, and we are one. And even though we can't always agree on things, we should always be one in the flesh, one in the body of Christ, one in our outlook, our desire to spread Jesus Christ. We should always work together, and yet we don't. We bicker and we fight over some silly stuff sometimes. You know, we waste our energies and our resources sometimes when we should be spending them on spreading the gospel, being one the way Jesus called us to. You know, when it says in here, in verse 15, Ephesians chapter 2, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace and in one body to reconcile both of them, Jews and Gentiles, to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He was bringing Jews and Gentiles together. And you know who a Gentile is? Anybody here a Gentile? Anybody that's not Jewish, you're a Gentile. That was it. So Jews and Gentiles described everybody. And Jesus was saying now he's going to bring them all together. through the cross. No more division. Put an end to their hostility so that they could be one. When Jesus was on the cross and crucified, he said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. When he did that, what happened? What? Yes. There was an earthquake, there was a storm, and the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. You got to understand the significance of this. See, when you come into the temple, you come into the first room is the outer court. It's the outer court. It's the big room where everybody gathered, kind of like our narthex out there. Everybody gathered out there. And then you went through an opening into the next room, which was the inner court. The inner court's like this. It's the sanctuary. And then there was a big veil, a big curtain that hung from the ceiling to the floor. And it separated the inner court from the Holy of Holies. The altar rail represents that curtain. That's the Holy of Holies. And the reason it was separating people from going into the Holy of Holies, because only the priest was allowed to go up there. Because if anybody else went in there, they would die. Because God was so holy and righteous, he could not abide sin to be in his presence. It wasn't that he was mean. It was just that he was so holy and righteous. Sin cannot abide in his presence. And so only the priests who were consecrated were allowed to go in there and present offerings to God. So the people gathered together in the outer court, and they got things ready and talked about church and everything. Then they went to the inner court, where they said prayers, sang songs, and then they gave their offerings to the priest, who would then take them in through the curtain into the Holy of Holies. Now this curtain, I don't know if it was raised up or if they went around the end, but it was one solid piece of material from ceiling to floor, huge. While the priest was in the Holy of Holies, he wore a special gown. And on the bottom of that gown, there was a bell and a pomegranate. A bell and a pomegranate. A bell. How many people here know what a pomegranate is? Okay, it looks like an apple. And the reason he had them on the hem of his garment was so that when he walked, that pomegranate would hit the bell. Ding, 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 ding. And he would go and offer sacrifices to God and say prayers and, you know. And he had a rope around his ankle, which went underneath the curtain. And his assistants were out there. And as long as the bells were going, they knew that he was okay. But if he did something he wasn't supposed to do, there was no more bells. And then they would give a tug on the rope. Tug again. And if he didn't start moving, then they hauled him out. Because it's the Holy of Holies. It was the only place that you could be with God. And to be in God's presence required strict obedience. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain was torn from top to bottom. Because through Jesus, we now have entrance into the Holy of Holies. We are allowed to come into the presence of God Almighty. Because we believe in Jesus. Because God looks at us through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And that makes us one. One. We preach and teach unity. Political correctness. One of my favorite topics. Political correctness is all about unity. It's about bringing the whole world together. Our society, bringing everybody together. Doesn't matter what we look like, act like, live like, doesn't matter. Political correctness says you cannot label anybody, put anybody down, reject anybody. You aren't allowed to do that. Political correctness is also ruining the country, ruining the world. Because while political correctness is all about unity, political correctness is not about Bible. It is not biblical. Because there is no accountability, And in political correctness, it is not, you are not allowed to get all holy and religious out in the public and say prayers at different functions. And, you know, just political correctness is politically incorrect. You know, yes, I want unity for the whole world. Yes, I want us to invite into these walls anybody who's different. I don't care what a person looks like, what they act like, or what they live their life. I don't care if they're falling down drunk. If they want to come to church, bring them to church. Invite them to church. If they're filthy, cruddy, dirty, covered with sores, if they got tattoos all over them and body piercings and, you know, and if they've got like, you know, like really weird clothes and, oh, I didn't mean to touch you there. Sorry about that. Just invite them to church. Bring them in. If they want to come in, open the doors to them. We are to love the way we've been loved. And Jesus hung out with all of the outcasts, all of the people that nobody else wanted anything to do with, thieves and prostitutes and tax collectors whom everybody hated. Bring them into this place so that they can see Jesus in us. So that they can become one as we are one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. Where there is to be that kind of unity. We are all to be one flesh. And let us put aside the bickering and the fighting and come together on the common ground of Jesus Christ to do his work. And let's be bold in our faith. I'm telling you, go ahead and get me in trouble. But I say, my brothers and sisters, let's be politically incorrect and let's storm the gates of hell with all kinds of love outside these walls. Let's go out and give stuff away and invite people in and do things outside where we can be seen and let's get wild and crazy for Jesus. We are to be one, even as he and the Father are one. God loves you, and so do I.